وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. There is a poem of Hadhrat Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Sahib Majzoob Rahmatullah Ali. He says, Reh ke dunya mein bashar ko nahi zeba ghaflat, maut ka dhyan bhi lazim hai ke har aan rahe. Living in this dunya for a human being, ghaflat, unmindfulness, is not proper, is not correct. And this is, perhaps it cannot be termed as haram, but it is the cause of so many haram and so many wrong things. Just to be indifferent, to be unmindful, I don't care attitude. Like many things we do, we don't think, is it right, is it wrong? Everyone is doing it, we doing it. It came down in tradition, our forefathers were doing it, we are doing it. Like for example, when slaughtering an animal, always we should see our forefathers, they should pour water after slaughtering. And there is no tzubut for that, and that causes in fact more burn to the animal. It causes more taklif. But unmindfulness, we don't think. Just because it was being done, we also doing it. And in fact, if a person has got reasonable amount of deen, even in right things, think about it. And when you'll realize it is the right, you'll do it with more conviction. Not just that you, because everyone is doing it, I'm doing it. Because our forefathers were doing it, I'm doing it. For example, even our deen, ask, am I in the right deen? Is Islam the right religion? You'll get convinced it is the right religion. Then you'll have more conviction. Not just because I'm a born Muslim, which is called Imani Murisi, inherited Islam. If you'll think about it, your iman will become istidlali, will become aqli, will become wijdani. It will become a real iman. You'll be convinced I'm doing the right thing. Not just because we are Muslims, so we have to do it this way, whatever we are doing. So this ghaflat is a terrible thing. And we get caught up in it in almost everything. In dunya's matters also, ghaflat is very, very harmful. For example, you might be earning well, but when we are building the Darul Uloom at the beginning, so laborers, that time were much more cheaper. Now also compared to contractors, laborer is much more cheaper. That time a laborer's wage was about 5 rand, I think it started 6 rand a day. So it appears you can employ any amount, it's cheap. So one person gave me good advice, he says, don't be mistaken. You might think it's cheap, so you can employ even extra which you don't need. But this also unmindfulness, you are wasting that. And he says you will lose out tremendously. So even on small things, in our house, do we need one maid, 2 maids? In our shop, do we need 1 worker, 2 workers? We just used to 2 workers, so we're just carrying on with 2. Do we really need the 2 workers? And we do need a third one, but we are managing with 2. Why not, if we need the third one, think about it. Get the third worker. So in everything, think about our matters. Don't just do it. We are used to traveling one road to come to the majlis. There may be another route. Think about it. It may be a better route. In various forms, it may be a better. Not just because we are used to this all the time, we are traveling this one route. So this indifference that we don't think, we're just doing things just because we have to do it and just the way we are used to. But to think, that is ghaflat. So, reh ke dunya mein bashar ko nahi zeba ghaflat. Living in this dunya, for any human being, not only a mu'min, for mu'min much more, for any human being, ghaflat is very, very unhealthy. Very, very bad for a person, this unmindfulness, not thinking about one's matters. Maut ka dhyan bhi lazim hai ke har aan rahe. And this ghaflat, one of the things of ghaflat, which perhaps all of us, we don't think of maut. Every time think of maut. We came to suffer, this may be my last suffer. Just think of it, that is a great ibadat on its own. And it will help us tremendously. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much so, made salam on one side. He said, I don't know if I'll make the salam on the other side. So much dhyan of maut. You pick up the food from the dastarkhan, I don't know if it will reach my mouth. So this dhyan of maut is lazim. It's very, very important. And because of ghaflat, we don't think of it. And some people, not ghaflat, but they do think, and intentionally, they don't want to think of maut. That if you're going to think of maut, your life of dunya will become bitter, will become sour. And now just forget maut. Just forget it and just do what you want to. That is even worse. So this ghaflat, which is bad, coming out of it to think, but the thinking must be in the positive. Otherwise, if the thinking is in the negative, then that is worse also. Then rather just your indifference is better. That you're a Muslim, and if you think, and you come to this conclusion, no, Islam is not good for me, then that is even worse for you. That Islam stops me from good things, Islam stops me of enjoyments of dunya, which are not the enjoyments also. Hadhrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh said something very beautiful with regard to that. He said a person who is color blind, so he can't see color, so he doesn't enjoy colors because he can't see colors, he's color blind. Like that, or a person who hasn't got taste buds, they are damaged, he can't taste food, he can't enjoy the food. So that person, you put biryani in front of him, or you put mealy rice in front of him. You put salt, you don't put salt. It makes no difference to that person. The same person, the same way, a person whose taste buds of deen are dead, he hasn't got taste buds. As far as deen is concerned, he's color blind. He can't see. That person won't get any enjoyment in life. Of deen, of namaz, he won't get any enjoyment. Namaz, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, is the greatest solace to a person. But we don't get that solace, we don't feel it. That solace a person should be able to get in his heart. No matter what biryani and what kawabs and whatever delicious food, it can give you enjoyment on your mouth, but your heart, it can't give you enjoyment. It can't. The only namaz, zikrullah, deen will give you the enjoyment of deen. So these things a person has to try and acquire. To maut ka dhyan bhi lazim hai ke har aan rahe. Jo bashar aata hai dunya mein, ye kehti hai qaza. Whichever human being comes in this world, maut says, your taqdeer says, main bhi piche chali aati hoon, zara dhyan rahe. I'm walking, I'm coming right behind you. Keep it in mind that maut is right behind you all the time. Wherever you are, whether you are sleeping comfortably in your home, all your doors are locked, you have got the most top security, but it can't stop maut from entering. Maut is with you all the time. So keep maut in mind. And this is itself, it comes in a hadith sharif, a person who remembers maut 25 times a day. And the easiest way is to read, Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. So twice in that one dua you have remembered maut already. So if you read it 13 times, you have remembered maut 25 times. Read the whole dua 25 times. That person's maut, when he dies, will come on shahadat. And if you think of just reading it. And if you think of maut, I'll die. That is the main object. How will my life in the qabr be? What will happen to me in the qabr on the day of qiyamah? This muraqabah maut is also enough for the reformation of a person. If he just thinks every day for 15 seconds, 10 seconds, I might be just dying today, what have I done for my qabr? And what wrong have I done? What is going to happen to me? This muraqabah maut will be extremely beneficial for him. Here Hadrat has written, Ek aham nasihat, one great advice. Jalilul Qadr Tabi'i, Hazrat Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah Ali ka irshad hai. Hazrat Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah Ali was a Tabi'i, a person just after the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He gave this great advice, ke dunya ke liye itni mehnat kar, jis qadr dunya mein rehna hai. Make so much effort for dunya, how much you have to stay in this dunya. Aur aakhirat ke liye itni mehnat karo, jis qadr waha rehna hai. And prepare for akhirat, how much you are going to stay there. Yeah, in this dunya, if there is anything that is certain, is maut. Everything else is uncertain. Our health is uncertain, our lives are uncertain, but maut is a certainty. And it can come the next moment. So prepare so much for dunya, how much you intend staying here, how much you have to stay here, which is very little. And akhirat is forever. So prepare more for akhirat. In other words, if you work it out, prepare 1% for dunya, 99% for akhirah. 10% for dunya, 90% for akhirah. And the maximum, 49% for dunya, 51% for akhirah. So you have prepared more for akhirah. But the less you prepare for dunya, the more for akhirah, that is a more wise person. On that, I remember another, there are some very wonderful malfuzat of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh. In one malfuz with regard to these matters, he said, the intelligence and the thinking of those people who are more closer to Allah, so those are the people who want to please Allah all the time, and they are preparing for akhirat all the time. So their intelligence, their way of life, their senses are always attacked by people of dunya. Because according to people of dunya, these people are, they are backwards, they are fundamentalists, they are people who are keeping the ummah back, because their thinking is different. These people's thinking is for dunya. And then Maulana says that this is nothing new. The same accusation was made on the to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum by the munafiqeen. And they say, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. Must we believe like sufaha, the stupid people, na'uzu billah, believe? Those people who have got more preparation for akhirat to please Allah. Dunya's people who look at dunya, they will call them stupid. And not only stupid, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they called him a madman. They called him a person who does witchcraft. They called him all funny names. Why? Because the two lines are different. So we don't have to worry to try and please people of dunya. They cannot get pleased. Their line of thinking is completely different. And the people who have got akhirat in mind and who have got Allah's pleasure in mind, the two will be completely different in everything. So that person who has got Allah's pleasure, akhirat in mind, his qabr, must make shukr to Allah. Allah has blessed him with that. The house people also, yeah, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum gives a wonderful advice that many people in the family, in the house, in the family, they have a problem with other family members. There is somebody who, for example, just wants to watch TV all the time, listening to music and playing it loud, loud also. All these things happen. Who don't care about any parda, many things they do. So Hazrat says, Hazrat's advice is to such people that don't worry about those people. You don't even make tabligh to them. Their mind of thinking, way of thinking is completely different. You don't take part in any of that guna which is in the house. They are watching TV, you make sure you never watch TV, never sit with them. And you carry on doing your thing. And this is amali tabligh. This amal of yours, eventually they're going to see the difference in the two lives also. And they will see, because Allah's help, you must be sincere. Allah's help will be with you. You'll be living a much more better life, secure life, a safer, happy life. You won't have hazards and haphazards and problems in your life. They will see eventually who is on the right. And they will know in their heart right from the beginning. But you remain firm. And don't you even tell them anything. So that amali tabligh, Hazrat says, is much more mutaathir, has got much more greater effect than trying to convince them. You're going to argue all the time and you're not going to get anywhere. And arguments usually darken the heart. It makes the heart black. And when a person's heart is black, it shows on his face also. And after that on the face, it will show in his actions also. This person won't have any apprehension for guna. He won't have any apprehension for backbiting, for lying, for anything. All this is a sign that the heart is black. He won't make parda, he will in fact justify it. Because if the heart is black, all these things will happen. So therefore, keep your mind on akhirat, on the pleasure of Allah. Dunya's people will oppose you. And when they oppose you, then don't you try and convince them. You just carry on quietly with what you have to do. And do it, and just make sure that you are doing it sincerely for Allah's pleasure. Make dua of hidayat for them. That you must make. And don't argue with them, don't fight with them. That is not beneficial in any way. And in fact, in so many of these cases, even to advise them is not advisable. It's not beneficial also. You just do what you have to be doing, and you carry on. یہاں ضمناً ایک بات کا بیان کر دینا مناسب معلوم ہوتا ہے. وی ور ڈسکسنگ ان دس کتاب اباؤٹ یورین ڈراپس ایٹسیٹرا پاکی میکنگ استنجا پراپرلی. سو ہی رائٹس یہ آئی تھنک اٹ از ایڈوائزبل دیٹ ون پوائنٹ آئی شوڈ مینشن یہ وچ از آلسو امپورٹنٹ. بعض مسلمان پیشاب کرنے کے بعد کھڑے ہو کر ڈھیلے سے استنجا کرتے ہوئے, دس از کال استبرا ٹو میک شیور دیٹ نو یورین ڈراپس آر لیفٹ آفٹر ون از یورینیٹڈ. سو یہ پرہیپس نن آف اس مائٹ ایون نو اباؤٹ دس اور کین ایون تھنک اباؤٹ اٹ, بٹ ان انڈیا پاکستان اینڈ دیٹ آلسو ناٹ ناؤ سم ٹائم اگو, اسپیشلی اف یو گو ان دا ولیجز, ان دا سٹیز یو ڈونٹ گیٹ دس ایٹ آل, but in the villages etc they may be still doing it. What is that? That istinja after urinating and they stand up, dhele se istinja karte hue making their cleaning themselves with the clod of mud, with the dhela, kisi aisi jagah par dikhai dete hain, you can see them in public places, not in privacy, ke jahan se log guzar rahe hote hain, where people are passing also there, اور عجیب عجیب حرکات کرتے ہیں. اینڈ دے ڈو فنی فنی ایکشنز. واٹ از دس؟ فار ایگزامپل دا ہینڈ ود دا ڈھیلا, دا لیفٹ ہینڈ از ان دا تھراؤزر, دے ہیو گاٹ اٹ ایٹ دا پرائیویٹ پارٹ ٹو ابزارب دا یورین, اینڈ دے آر واکنگ, اینڈ آلسو سم ٹائمز دے پٹ ون لیگ اوور دا ادر ٹو پریس آؤٹ دا لاسٹ یورین ڈراپس ایٹسیٹرا. سو آل دیز فنی ایکشنز دے ڈو وتھ ریگارڈ ٹو دس ہی سینگ, یہ نہایت نامعقول اور بے حیائی کا طریقہ ہے. This is not a sensible and proper, and it is a shameless thing to do this. They urinate, they got urinals, where you sit and urinate. After that, they come out, and they walk around, so somebody else can use their urinal in the meantime. And they walk out there, and they try, and the last few drops, they let them come out. But in this way, in public, like where other people can see, though it is in a masjid area, there are no women, only men. But even then, and then doing all these actions and trying to push out the last drop, he says this is not proper at all. Aisi hi napasandida harakat dekh kar no taaleem yafta tabqa nihayat mufeed aur karamat islami usool wa qawaid hifzan sihat dele dhele aur istinja ke masla keh kar taal diya karta hai. Seeing such people with western education, secular education, they see this and then they themselves become deprived of this great teaching of taharat, of paaki, which Islam is taught, that a person must cleanse himself. They say, if people carry on like this, we don't want to do all these things. And then they say, there is istinja masala, and they don't pay any attention to it. And they just disregard totally the proper way of doing istinja. It is the actions of these people that make such people turn away from the teachings of Islam. صحیح اور مناسب طریقہ یہ ہے کہ بیٹھے بیٹھے دوسروں کی نظروں سے اوجھل ڈھیلے یا پانی سے استنجا و طہارت کی جاوے. حضرت سیز دا پراپر وے از دیٹ وے یو آر سٹنگ اینڈ ان پرائیویسی ان اے سوٹیبل وے سٹنگ ڈاؤن اینڈ وے پیپل کین ناٹ سی یو ڈو یور تھنگس وچ یو ہیو ٹو ڈو سو دیٹ دا لاسٹ فیو ڈراپس کین کم آؤٹ, جیسا کہ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا معمول تھا, as it was the practice of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So I just find out if the hall is open for a minute. بول و براز کی معمولی آلائش سے پرہیز رکھنے کی وجہ ظاہر ہے. Staying away from the very fine and the very little ناپاکی of استنجا, the benefits of it are quite manifest and quite clear. Even the little bit, a person should safeguard himself. Agar kisi choti si burai se ijtinab na kiya jave, to aista aista bari burai se insaan ghafil hota chala jata hai. When a person doesn't worry about small matters, that there is just a little drop of urine, and Shariat has made a certain amount maaf also, and you take advantage, well, it's maaf. And so then the importance of paaki will slowly go out. That this doesn't matter, little napaki it is only, it's all right, you can make your namaz with it. Shariat has even allowed it. You start taking advantage of this human nature. That whatever, like for example, many women who want to drive, they ask a mufti also permission. And a mufti gives permission within your area, in parda, but this slowly, it doesn't remain there. It's human's nature, it will go further. And so eventually you'll see her driving everywhere, and then she's driving on her own. If she forgot her parda, she'll be driving without parda also. These things happen. So therefore, the end to understand this whole thing is very simple, that the mizaj of Shariat is, of Islam is, don't light the fire, you don't have to look after it. And the way of non-Muslims is, light the fire but control it. Like for example, boys, girls, let them go together in excursion. Your daughter, let her go and stay with her friend at her house for the weekend. The friend is a boy also. They are small and the parents are there. You are lighting the fire, but don't let them do anything wrong. So you want to control the fire, but you have lit the fire. Once the fire is lit, a fire goes out of control in seconds. And nobody can control that fire once it's gone out of control. So Islam's teaching is, don't light the fire. Then you don't even have to worry of looking after it. And that is in every way, even economically. You light the fire, that is an expense. You look after it, more expense. So you don't light the fire, no expense, and you don't need even firemen to look after it after that. So this is how Islamic teachings are. So the small, small things, they don't remain small. They become big. So insan to aista aista, bari burai se insan ghafil hota chala jata hai, aur phir safai wa paakizgi barai naam ki reh jati hai. And afterwards cleanliness will just be the name of cleanliness. There will be no cleanliness left which Islam has spoken about. Ek aur lihaz se bhi islami tariqe taharat bahut mufeed hai. From another aspect also, Islamic teaching of cleanliness of paaki is very important. Phirne aur kaam kaaj karne se bil khusus garam martoob ilaqon mein, and when a person walks around, goes around doing his work, walking etc., whatever his work is, and especially in hot places and where there is more humidity, where there is water in the air, humidity in the air, such places, raano ke darmiyan paseena bahut nikalta rehta hai. And some people's nature also is they sweat more. And some people, certain parts of their body, they sweat more. So the sweat, the perspiration between the thighs, which comes, which isn't to do with napaki, but that perspiration which is there all the time. Pani se badan ke in hisso ko dhone se masam khul jate hai. If a person washes not only his private parts, but that whole area, especially in summer, especially for a person who sweats more, especially if you're living in a place where there is humidity and the person sweats more, you should wash that whole area regularly. Not only when he showers, but regularly he should wash it. Then the pores of the body of that place open, or mel kuchel dur ho jati hai. And the dirt that comes out, sweat brings out the dirt from the inside of the body. So the dirt will be removed all the time. If a person leaves it, then it causes many times a rash also. And a person, such a person, you'll find him scratching. It's itching him also all the time. So this istinja should be extended further. Around the whole pelvic part, a person should wash, especially in summer. A person who by nature, he sweats more. You're living in an area where there is more sweat, wash all these parts more at the time of istinja also. May Allah let us appreciate our deen. What a beautiful and perfect deen. And this is now making that ghaflat, removing it, making it dur, removing that ghaflat. By coming to such gatherings, by learning about these things, a person removes this ghaflat and then he can appreciate. Otherwise, if we just take it, well, it's our tariqah, we are doing it, then a person, eventually he doesn't do it properly also, he hasn't got the importance. But if that ghaflat is gone, and in place of ghaflat there is ilm, and this ilm also ala basira, with conviction, proper knowledge and conviction, what the importance and the value of this istinja is, then when he does it, he will enjoy. And for him it will be a great ibadat in the eyes of Allah, because he's doing it now with conviction. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali in another Malfooz has also written, which is also extremely very important, and these are those that I found very beneficial for myself and enjoyed them as well, so I thought share them with our satis also, that what is tasawwuf. Hazrat has given a wonderful, very short summary of what tasawwuf is. Tasawwuf in one word is raza ilahi, that Allah must become happy. But this, every person claims it, Even a non-Muslim, that God must be happy with me. Every person says it. So if the little explanation Hazrat has given, then you can see that how important for Raza Ilahi, which is what Tasawwuf is. That how important the tariq, the method of Tasawwuf is. For that Hazrat says there are only two things. One is how to please Allah to have that knowledge. Knowledge. In other words, knowledge of deen. And then to put that into practice. And both those things boil down to one thing again. That is to fulfill the commands of Allah. Allah's commands can never be fulfilled without knowledge of what the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, a person will fall into bid'at, innovations, he'll make his own thing, etc. So we have to know what knowledge we have to have, proper knowledge, correct knowledge. And then to make amal on that. And this knowledge and this amal is only two things. Zahiri amal and batini amal. This whole knowledge of deen, and to practice on that knowledge, which is one thing to please Allah. And in that there are two things. One is zahiri amal, outward amal. Whether it has to do with huququllah or huququl ibad. Outward, namaz, roza, zakat, etc. Dealing with people properly, that is all outward muamalat. Inside the heart's condition. There mustn't be pride. Now just to say to please Allah, it's easy. But when you go into the details now, that pride, jealousy, anger, all these things, this is now what tasawwuf is, to remove, to correct the heart. Our outward amal also must be correct, inward amal also must be correct. Many people only give importance to outward amal. They haven't got deen in their lives, whatever, they went in jamaat, they came in contact with the alim, in khanka, wherever, whatever became the means, and now they came into deen. Then they only worried of outward amal. They never think of the inward amal. Inward amal, anger, and that is still afterwards also. Iman is the most important. A person doesn't think that have I got the proper things I'm bringing iman on. Indifference again, ghaflat. That I'm a born Muslim, just what is in our society, we are going by that. So we find many people who are Shias. So what they have come, well this is our deen, they accept that. Person who is a bidati, born in a bidati family, this is our deen. Never think that is this the right thing what I'm doing or not. And we also who are on the right, but think also, is this the right? And if you will think in the correct channels, choose the right ways also, you'll get more conviction and you'll be more convinced of your deen, which is a very, your iman will become stronger. So outward amal and inward amal. For this, just to say it is easy, that you must correct your outward amal, inward amal, but it's not going to be corrected just like that. Two things are necessary for this. One is zikrullah and abundance and regular zikrullah. And the other is company of the pious. Any pious person keep his company. The person who is truly pious, that means a person who is concerned of akhirat, of the pleasure of Allah, that is definitely going to have an effect on you. And in the absence of such a pious person, read the kitabs of the pious people. Their life stories, that how they lived, etc. That will be a replacement, a substitute, if you don't have the original. And two things are extremely harmful in this. The one is sinning, when a person commits sins. And the other is the same thing, ghaflat, unmindfulness. These two things are extremely difficult. And the practical procedure of this is, become bayat with a sheikh and inform him of your condition. That I feel I've got pride in me. I'm doing things for name and fame. I've got anger in me. Remedy yourself. And then what instructions he give, prescriptions. Even if he doesn't give, his du'as are also enough. But if he gives, follow those instructions. This is all what tasawwuf is. So basically tasawwuf in one word is raza ilahi. But we are weak, we don't understand what is raza ilahi. You need this little explanation. And that explanation is that in order to get Allah's pleasure, we need two things, knowledge of in what is Allah's pleasure. And then practicing on that. And that practice is only two things, outward amal and inward amal. And for that, in order to practice upon outward and inward amal, you need zikrullah, which is your power. Zikrullah is that thing when a person, whenever he will become unmindful of zikrullah, his namaz he'll still carry on. Other things he'll carry. But he'll start committing gunas, backbiting, bad nazri, lying, he'll fall into these gunas. Because he's weak. If a person doesn't eat food, one time's food you must, your roza you kept. You didn't have your supper. You feel weak? You didn't have sehri. Next day you had to keep roza. How weak are you going to feel? So spiritually, when we don't have our spiritual food, we become weak. So we can't do our basic duties also. Now we can't save ourselves from badnasri. We can't save ourselves from ghibat, from lying, from listening to ghibat. All those things we can't. So therefore, zikrullah and company of the pious. And two things which are, and in the absence of company of the pious, read the kitabs of the pious. Try and read their life stories, their kitabs, etc. And then, two things which are extremely harmful, gunas. They are very, very harmful in this path. And ghaflat, unmindfulness. And the correct way of this, have a sheikh, become bad to a sheikh. And then follow in form of your condition, what your condition is. And then whatever instructions, prescriptions the sheikh prescribes, follow this prescription. This person in a short while will reach the pleasure of Allah, which is Raza Ilahi, which is tasawwuf, to make Allah Ta'ala happy. May Allah give us the tawfiq and the reality of this. In another place, Hazrat writes, many mashayikh, and this is in Hazrat's time, today it's even more. All they do is give their murids wazifas to read. That's all. Wazifas come long afterwards, and they are not at all that important. To reform oneself, that is the object of Islam. Not to read wazifas. Wazifas are all right, but they come afterwards. But we pay all our importance on wazifas. I'm making this zikr, I'm making that zikr. Some of our friends also told, must give all our friends a chart. And everyone must fill in whether they're reading all their wazifas. They're doing all their nafil. That is not important at all. It's good, mashallah, do it. But that is not important. Reformation of oneself, that is important. But the nafs and shaitan, that reformation is not easy. To give up one sin is not easy. A person whose beard is not according to sunnah, for him to make his beard, how hard isn't it? A person is making tahajjud, five times namaz, takbir-e-ula, jamaat, but trouser below the ankle. He's making imamat, trouser below the ankle, beard is not right. And he doesn't want to hear this also, forget correcting it. He gets angry if somebody has to tell him also. But tell him to read wazifas, he'll be happy. Tell him to go every year for hajj, he's happy. To go for every year for umrah, he's happy. But to correct this, that a person doesn't want to do. And that is what is required, that we must correct ourselves. Reformation. You go to a doctor and you're only happy, you make jokes with the doctor, he's your friend and that. But you don't tell him what your bimari is. Because you know he's going to give you an injection. And you don't want to take an injection. He's going to give you bitter medicine. He's going to put you on some diet which you don't like. So rather don't talk of that. Just go to the doctor regularly. And just go and make some jokes with him and just tell him that everything is okay and that you're happy, he's also happy. But what is the object of going to the doctor? You take your car to the mechanic and if you're going to tell him there's a problem, you know what the bill will come out to. Hey, his labor so much, the parts are so much, etc. So don't tell him your problem. You just went to the mechanic, you came home, you're happy, you know, everything is okay. What is okay? When you sit with your problem, then you'll realize. When you sit on the road with your problem, then you'll realize nothing was okay. And when we sit in the path of Allah with our problems, when because of anger, you smashed your wife's head, you gave talaq, and you did all other things, you used your firearm wrongly, then you'll see what your problems were. So sort out the problems, correct them, and then see inshallah your vehicle on the road of Allah Ta'ala, how wonderfully it will move, and how many people you will be able to take with you. So this is what is tasawwuf, that's reformation, not reading wazifas. Some people think khanka is zikr, that you must only make zikr. Zikr is an important part, but it is not only zikr, and zikr also is not just for the purpose of zikr. Zikr, any person in the hadith kitabs, enough zikrs are written. There are enough wazifa kitabs, any person can make zikr. But usually what the shaykh prescribes is not for sawab more, it is for reformation more. But if a person doesn't make his zikr with that niyat of reformation, but la ilaha, take out all ghairullah, everything besides Allah, take out all razail, all your evil habits, take it out with la ilaha. And with illallah, put all the goodness in your heart. Put only Allah in your heart. Don't go and beg from people. Don't go and ask of people and beg of people for things. Ask Allah Ta'ala. So that is the reality of this. May Allah let us understand this and it comes into our lives, inshallah. Another very knowledgeable point, academic point, Hazrat has written here. Faida Ilmiya number 18, the 18th point here. Jamhuriyat or Sawad-e Azam kya hai? What is Jamhuriyat, democracy? And what is Sawad-e Azam, the big party? It comes in the hadith always say, what Sawad-e Azam, what the big party, what the majority. Be always on the side of the majority. And that is what democracy is. That the people who vote more for a person, they have a referendum on a certain law. So the people who have voted more in favor of that law, that is what is Jamhuriyat. This is what is called Sawad-e Azam, but the true meaning of it. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi farmate hain, ke jis taraf haq ho, wahi Sawad-e Azam hai. The side where the truth is, that is Sawad-e Azam. Sawad-e Azam means the huge party, the majority. But whoever is, one person is on the truth, that person is in the majority, that is Sawad-e Azam. Not all the people agree that abortion is legal now. So that doesn't mean now you follow Sawad-e Azam there and you follow Jamhuriyat and you follow the majority and we had a referendum on this and you abolish capital sin and same-sex marriage you legalize. That this is what the people want. So we are making that now. Sawad-e Azam is that, the side where the truth is. Even if you're just one person, that is Sawad-e Azam. Kha ek shakhs ho, even if it is one person. Jis tarah, Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, ka tanha jihad ka faisla farma lena, Sawad-e Azam tha. When everyone, even Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was not of the opinion that we should be going for jihad now. One person alone, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala, that was Sawad-e Azam. The side where the truth is, that is Sawad-e Azam. Not where the majority, many we get confused with this. That even all the ulama are saying TV is jais now. They themselves appearing on TV also. So now it's jais. No, that is not Sawad-e Azam. That is not the majority. Majority is the side where the truth is. But Sawad-e Azam se murad Bayaz-e Azam hai. Sawad-e Azam means, Sawad means black. A big, huge black cloud. A big crowd, a group. And they appear all dark there. But Bayaz-e Azam, where the great whiteness is, where the white is true, the truth is manifest. That is where Sawad-e Azam. Sawad-e Azam is Bayaz-e Azam. Where the truth is white, the white is clear, follow that. Even if one person is on the truth, follow that one person. This is Sawad-e Azam, which means Bayaz-e Azam. There is a very, very important point. Faida Ilmiya number 19, number 19. Ek Nasrani ka Islam lana. One Christian who accepted Islam. Ek Qari ne tilawat ki, one Qari sahab was reading and he read this ayat of the Quran Sharif, wa ayyaduhum bi ruhin min, and Allah helped them with ruh from Allah, min who. Yet the important point is this word from him, which means part of Allah. So the Nasrani ne kaha ki yahi to hamara mazhab hai, this is our religion. We believe that Isa alayhi salam is one of the three. Yeah, three in one and one in three. This is our mazhab. So the Quran is teaching the same thing. That ruh minhu, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, or who they call the Holy Ghost, but he is from Allah Ta'ala, part of Allah Ta'ala. So the Qari was a great alim, Allah wala. Qari ne fawran tilawat kiya. Then the Qari read immediately another ayat of the Quran, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْهُ. That we may put everything what is in the skies and the earth, we put it in your control. We made man, he can control the skies, he controls the earth. And all these things are from Allah. So yeah, also if you take the same meaning, that it is part of Allah. It has come out of Allah. So it's also a God. Everything is a God then. Plus iman laya. On this he brought iman. When he had understood this knowledge, to have this knowledge is also a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Faida ilmiya number 20, number 20. Chand asma ilahiya ke mafahim aur maani. this also is very important. We should not only listen, but try and learn these things. That some names of Allah and the meanings of the names of Allah. To know Allah, Allah has introduced Himself. And wherever Allah is given His names, in Surah Hashar, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة. Many, many places in the Quran. Full the whole Quran is. All this is where Allah has introduced Himself. And when somebody introduces it, you know the person. The person gives you his card, or you ask him for the card. On there, all his things are written. He's this and he's that and he's that also. Allah gave us his cards. So that we could recognize Allah Ta'ala. So one name of Allah, Al-Kareem. But what is Al-Kareem? هو الذي يعطي بدون استحقاق واستحقاق ومنة. It is that being who gives without us being worthy and without us begging. That is Kareem. Now if a person just thinks of this one name of Allah, that Allah gave us without us being worthy, we were not worthy to be human beings. It's not our birthright that we are human beings. It's not our birthright that we are Muslims. It's not our birthright that we are in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is Kareem. It is a gift from Him. And minnatin, we didn't beg. We didn't even ask. Forget begging. Nobody asked of Allah that let me be born in the world. Nobody made an application. And then Allah Ta'ala, after He created us, we didn't ask that we want eyes also. We want brains also. All this Allah gave us free from His charge. So if a person just thinks of the name Kareem, it is that being who has given us whatever we have got without us in the least but being worthy of whatever we have got. And Allah gave it to us free of charge, even without asking. Not even that amount Allah charged us, that at least make an application. And Allah gave it to us. So that is Kareem. So if we know Allah like that, then our Allah is completely different. That is Kareem. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Haleem. Another name of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is Haleem also. Who is Haleem? هو الذي لا يؤجل بالعقوبة. He who does not hurry in giving punishment. Allah is not too eager to give punishment. And Allah never hurries. Allah gives. In fact, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, when a person is caught with a sin, his sin becomes public, be 100% sure he was committing a sin for a long, long, long time. Only when the cup is full, then it starts overflowing. Until it's not full, it doesn't overflow. So Allah gives you a chance. And Allah gives you a chance, make tawbah. Change your life. You still got a chance. You still got a chance. Still make tawbah. That is Haleem, who gives you so much chance. But when you didn't, and your cup got full, and it spilled over, then be sure that person has been doing this for how long? In the privacy, nobody knew about it. He was doing the sin all the time. And it only comes to be known when it overflows. And also, if you are committing the sin, Allah is that kind being. As long as you make istighfar, the level will go down. It will go down. Allah won't allow it to come up. As long as you make istighfar also. Kareem wo hai jo badun salahiyat aur istihqaq ata farmaye. Kareem is that being who, without you being worthy and without you asking, He gives you. Aur Haleem wo hai jo saza dene mein jaldi na kare. And Haleem is that being who doesn't hurry up in giving you punishment. We punish very quickly, whether it's our students, our children, any person. We are very quickly judgmental. This person is like this. We just saw one thing of the person. We just saw him driving somewhere or whatever, and we make a judgment. But Allah Ta'ala is very, very tolerant. And Allah gives lot of time. The kuffar of Makkah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ وَمَا لَهُمْ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمُ اللَّهُ. And what reason is there that Allah should not punish them? وَمَا لَهُمْ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُمْ يَصُدُّونَ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. They stop people from coming to a masjid haram. Or again? وَمَا كَانَ وَمَا كَانَ أَوْلِيَا. No. أَدْلِكَ. Or پھر کیا? No, that is in front. وَمَا كَانَ أَوْلِيَا إِلَّا مُتَّفِقٌ وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَا. And what was their namaz? What they should call their namaz? Clapping hands and whistling. وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَا. That is what their namaz was. And naked they should do this. But Allah wasn't punishing. Allah gave them chance because they should say, Ghufranak inda tawab. Though there was so much of guna, they should say, Ghufranak, Ghufranak, Ghufranak. Allah didn't punish them. So Allah Ta'ala, what a kind being is not Allah Ta'ala. Wahid or Ahad ka farak. Allah is Wahid also, Allah is Ahad also. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. And Wahid also comes, Wahid ka itlaq, kathir bar bhi hota hai. But when Allah's name comes, it never comes, Qul huwa Allahu Wahid. It would be the same meaning outwardly. But if you go into the semantics, you'll see there is a great difference between Wahid and Ahad. The Wahid, that Wahid ka itlaq, kathir par bhi hota hai. Wahid is used for many also. For example, jaise wahid mi'a, you say 100. So one, we say one, but it's 100. Or wahid alf, 1,000. So you are using the word wahid, but it's 1,000 there. It's 100 there. So wahid is used at those places. 1,000. Or ahad ka itlaq sirf haq ta'ala ke saath khas hai. And ahad is only for Allah. So the oneness of Allah, how Allah hasn't maintained it, even in the semantics of language, Allah maintained his tawheed and taught us his tawheed. Another very important malfooz of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat explained that in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif that no person's desires are fully fulfilled in this world. What are all your desires fulfilled in this world? Nobody's desires are fulfilled. The Arabic ayat, think about the Mali Musa, yeah, the concept. Amlil mashallah, jazakumullah. Amlil insani ma tamanna. What? Has insan received, have he got ma tamanna, what he made tamanna of, what he desired? Nobody's desires are fulfilled fully in this world. And there's a lot of explanation, but we all understand that. That all of us, our desires are far ahead from where we can even ever think of reaching. What and what desires? And there's tamanna. Not what you have made irada of, but your tamanna, your wishes, your desires run away, far away. Nobody can fulfill them. And the cause of sorrow, sadness, depression, suicide is the same thing. When your desires are not being fulfilled. What you were expecting, you're not getting, that is where depression comes. You are expecting something. You have made some application, refused. Now you are depressed. You were so keen to go for Hajj, you didn't get your accreditation. Your ticket didn't, whatever else. Now you are depressed, you are sad, your mood is down now. And when it gets much more worse, you even commit suicide. So all this, and this is predominantly in dunya's things. That I want this in life, I want that, I want this, I want that, you all that. And for that also is dunya's knowledge. And dunya's knowledge is for that purpose that your dunya you must increase it. Get a more degree, more salary. You have this, you have that, more salary, more job, more promotion, all that, all the time. And the people in dunya's line, that is what they work all the time. They want promotion. They want recognition. They want all this all the time, going up all the time. Must go up the ladder, and that is their language also. That is how they talk also. So if you go and analyze really, it looks outwardly that the people who give dunya's education and who promote dunya, they are promoting your desires, your dreams, and they advertise also in that way. Your dreams will be fulfilled. That all these dreams, all their dreams, it outwardly it appears they are giving you more of dunya, they're making your life more peaceful, more comfortable. But the reality and the truth is, they are teaching you to be sorrowful, to be depressed, and they are teaching you to commit suicide. And the fact of this, which is open, which nobody can deny, what are called first world countries, industrialized countries, where they've got all these things, the amount of depression, the World Health Organization, they declare that one of the most major diseases in the world, in first world countries, is depression. The suicide rate in first world countries compared to third world, even non-Muslims, third world countries, is zero here, comparatively. And there it is so high. So these people are not the benefactors of mankind. They are actually leading mankind to sorrow, to depression, to suicide. On the other side of the coin, deen ta'aleem, and deen, what deen is, to be content. You have effort, you make your effort, you have dua also, But that you don't go mad in these things. The teaching more is qanaat, to be content more. And Islam hasn't stopped you from behaving. How our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, make dua for biryani and kawab. But be prepared to be satisfied with roti chutney, with dal roti. Be prepared, be satisfied with dal roti. No problem, make dua for biryani, make dua for kawab. Make your effort also reasonably, not out of the limit like in that line. Reasonably, you make your effort also. If it's meant for you, you'll get your biryani, you'll get your beautiful house, but you don't go over the limit in that, and that is your worry all the time. So yeah, the teaching more is of to be content. And a person who is content, that person, there is no sorrow, there is no depression, there is no suicide, he loves a comfort. So outwardly, these people look that they are teaching you backwardness in life. They are teaching you that don't progress in life. From one shop, don't worry of making two shops. From one car, don't worry of having two cars. They're teaching like you, they're keeping you back, but they are actually giving you contentment of heart. They are giving you peace of mind. And the people of dunya, who look outwardly, they are kind to you, they're doing good for you, they're giving you dunya, they are actually pushing you into the hole. And the saddest part is they don't even know it themselves. The way shaitan has put a patti on their eyes, they are thinking, we're doing so much for men, we're so good for mankind, we're doing all for the people, we're doing for the community. When these people running darul ulooms, who are going in jamaat, khanqa, they're keeping the people backwards here. Hey, and we are doing, we are promoting, we're giving the Muslims what the Muslims need in the world. Muslims also need doctors, Muslims also need lawyers. But in actual fact, what are they doing? They're destroying the ummah. And those people who are teaching the true values, and it looks they are keeping the people back, they are actually promoting mankind. And they are promoting good values, and they're giving peace to mankind. So this was really who Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was. May Allah let us appreciate and understand this great mujaddid of our time. In this kitab, Ruh ki bimariya aur inka ilaj, and Ya Hazrat is discussing about Tawbah and Istighfar. Lughwi or shari'i tahqiq. What is tawbah and istighfar and gunas, etc.? The dictionary meaning of it and the technical according to shari'at, the meaning of these things. Al-israr ashaddu min as-sir. Israr means to repeatedly, what is the right word?
Persistently.
So israr is more severe than sir. Sir is also persist. Israr is more, that you are even more, you are persisting on a guna. That is according to language, according to dictionary. Waqila al-thabat ala shay. And it is, it also says that when you continue, you do a thing all the time. You are steadfast on it, on the wrong, on guna. A person is always, like for example, a person is making bad nazri. He's just watching all the time. He no tawbah. He never thinks of it of a wrong thing. He hasn't got the idea it's a wrong thing. It's in society. It's common. It's our Indian culture. You speak to all your cousins. You speak to your neighbors. You just mix with them. And you never think of it. So the athabat ala shay. And you are doing it continuously. Wa yusta'amalu shar'an. And according to sharia, the technical meaning of it, what is it? بمعنى الإقامة على القبيح من غير استغفار ورجوع بالتوبة. That الإقامة على القبيح, that you're doing a guna all the time, you are doing it all the persistent, you are doing it من غير استغفار, and you're not making استغفار and you are not making توبة. If you are making توبة, you are making استغفار. استغفار is a lesser form, توبة is the perfect, complete form. But even if you are just doing istighfar, that you won't be called that you are israr al-guna, that you are persistent on a guna. Even if you just keep on making istighfar, whatever guna you are making, keep on making istighfar, and by the barakat of it, you'll understand if soon the evilness of that guna, and you yourself will want to come out of it. But you just keep on making istighfar. But when you don't make istighfar, and worse, you want to justify that in our society, how can you make pardah? You must be a mad man to say in this modern world, and you must maintain parda. You're a mad man or something. That is even worse. You admit your weakness and make tawbah istighfar. So, according to dictionary, israr is a more severe form, is the superlative of asir, sir, what is sad. That is persistence. And it is called that you remain steadfast on a, you keep on making that guna. And in Shariat it is that you keep on making a guna, what is called israr on in Shariat, you keep on making a guna without making istighfar and you don't make tawbah. And for tawbah, what is tawbah? That first of all, you come out of that guna. At that time, you come out of that guna. The second is, you realize you are making, it is a guna. You accept, you admit that I have committed a guna. And the third thing is, that at that time, you determine, I won't commit this guna again. Even if you got it in the back of your mind, I know I will fall in this guna. But at that time, you determine, I'm not going to commit this guna. This is tawbah. And the tawbah is not difficult. And the minute you have done, fulfill those conditions, your guna is made maaf by Allah Ta'ala. Allah has promised He forgives that guna. And istighfar is, you're perhaps still committing the guna, you're asking for forgiveness, but you're not promising I won't doing it again. That is a lesser form. There is barakat in that also. But the perfect is that a person makes tawbah. Kullu dhambin asarra alayhi al-abd kabirun. Every guna, even if we call it a small guna, which a person does persistently, that is kabira. That is a big guna. وَلَيْسَ بِكَبِيرٍ مَا تَابَ مِنْهُ الْعَبْدِ. And even a big guna is not a big guna as soon as you make tawbah. Now it's finished, it's no guna. Forget it's not being a big guna, it's not even a guna once you make tawbah. Muhyiddin ibn al-Arabi rahmatullah alayhi has written that when a person makes tawbah of a guna, and now it goes out of his mind. When he committed, he felt very bad. What have I done? How could I have done this guna? He makes tawbah from it, now it means that, and he forgets that guna, it's now out of his mind. It's there in the back, but it's no more right in front of his mind. That's a sign that that guna has been made maaf by Allah Ta'ala. But if you didn't make tawbah, you just forgot about it, and by nature, your nature over time, that doesn't mean that your guna is still not made maaf. But when you committed a guna, you felt bad about it, it's in your, how could I have done this? I shouldn't have done this. You make tawbah, then and the minute it's now gone out of the front of your mind, that guna now, that's a sign that Allah has made your guna maaf. And when Allah has made it maaf, He's not going to ask you on Qiyamah Day. The farishtas won't ask you. It's wiped out from their records. On that ground where you committed that guna, it's wiped out from there. Everywhere. And this wiped out, Allah wipes it out. Not that the farishtas wipe it out. So Allah doesn't keep the favor of the farishtas also on us, that they did us a favor, they wiped out, they destroyed our records, our files. Allah Himself destroys those files. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And in the ayat comes, وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they know, they have committed guna. What is the ayat again? وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. Those people who commit a guna. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They've done a great guna. فَاحِشَةً here means حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ. Other people you have committed. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Your own guna. حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ. And then وَذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. And that also we had explained. They not only they start sit with a tasbih, no. They remember Allah's punishment. That if Allah is to punish me for this guna, what will happen? They remember the day of Qiyamah. They remember Allah has done so many favors to me and I went and do this guna. They remember all those things. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِ. And they ask, oh Allah, forgive us now. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who will forgive gunas besides Allah? وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. And this is what is being discussed. They are not persistent. What is this israr is being discussed here? That is, بِدُونِ تَوْبَةٍ وَإِسْتِغْفَارٍ. Without tawbah, istighfar. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. What is the meaning of يَعْلَمُونَ? That is explained here. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ أَيْ يَعْلَمُونَ قُبْحَ فَعْلِهِمْ. They know that this what I've done, they know it's a guna. Not that they have committed the guna, they don't know it was. They know I've committed a guna. They ask for tawbah. Allah will forgive that guna. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ قُبْحَ فَعْلِهِمْ وَيَكُونُ الْمَعْنَى تَرَكُ الْإِسْرَارِ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ. That they have given up persistency on guna. And persistency, what does it mean? As long as you make istighfar tawbah, that is also you are not persistent on that guna. على الذنب لعلمهم بأن الذنب قبيح. Because of their knowledge that this guna, they don't persist. They make istighfar. Why are they making istighfar? Because they know it's bad. It's wrong what I've done. That's why they are making istighfar. فَإِنَّ الْحَالِ قَدْ يُجِيءُ فِي مَعْرَضِ التَّعْلِيرِ. Here is a grammatical point.